Trying to think what else kind of happened. This is when the match starts to slow down. I've got in here my notes. Regal and Punk had an IC title program going on here.
That's right.
Actually, it's always nice to see when the guy you're feuding with, you go right for him. Kudos to William Regal
right
there. He had just lost the IC title. The Punk went right after him. Got a little heat. Taker, we referenced, came in at number 16. There's blood, which I found interesting because I thought you weren't supposed to be bleeding during this time period.
Right. Especially in a Rumble match, because...
And I didn't see how it happened, so maybe it was hard way? I don't know.
Could have been. You got to figure it was hard way, because it's not impactful in a Rumble match. Plus, you know, definitely a little bit more dangerous with the airborne blood with all the bodies, particularly in a congested Rumble match, which we keep coming back to.
Of I all mean, the guys
if Undertaker
to get...
had HEP, you could have had 10 guys picking it up by the end of that match.
Of all the guys
I'm saying if.
Who got extended runs in this match, why the fuck was Mike Knox one of them?
I don't know.
He, like, was... It's one of those things where...
Oh, like, it was he still on the roster? This was way after his sell-by date, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, like, I never get... Look, this is a hard match to book. Let's be honest. It's a hard and intricate match to book.
It is.
But it seems that, like, sometimes they make one of two mistakes. Either they eliminate the guys too quickly, like, they give the guys, like, they... give a guy like 2 minutes of spotlight offense, then he just gets tossed by the next guy.
Right.
Or they do what they do with Mike Knox, where he comes in, does absolutely nothing of note, is in the corner, you never think of him, and he gets tossed in meaningless fashion after being in the match for like 20 minutes.
Well, and that's the thing.
When I look back again and compare all Rumbles to the best one of them all, 92, you didn't have that really. Like, it felt in that Rumble, everyone was in for the proper amount of time.
And that's where, again... You know, you're saying, well, we know how much they put it. I'm saying just the opposite. I feel like they did mail this one in because there is not a logical explanation for how these things could happen. Again, there was no flow to it.
No, it feels like this one missed Pat Patterson or something.
I referenced it before. I had a friend that came over toward the latter part of when I was watching this, and I finished watching it while he was here. He's not particularly a wrestling fan. And I said, hey, man. I'm sorry. I said, if you'd been here for the end of 08, I said, I know you're not a wrestling fan, but you'd be into it a little more than you are now. I said, I feel like I've subjected you to a really bad one. And again, I hadn't had all of them to compare it to. I'm saying tied for 22nd, 2 stars, one of the worst ever. To me, this is right about...
It was...
At the top
there
of the...
There are other Rumbles that have done more egregious things and had less star power.
This is right about at the top of that bottom quarter.
We still need to talk about this last little part.
Sure.
Shelton, I actually just listened to Shelton Benjamin. It was an older one. It's not like it's recent.
Okay.
So people may have heard this. Do a Talk as Jericho.
Okay.
Show. And he talked about how toward the end of his run, he was working with Undertaker on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right after this. And in the back, they kept saying, oh, these are good matches, man. And he was obviously losing them. But these are good matches, man. These are good matches, man. And then, like, after that, he just winds up jobbing to R-Truth in 2 minutes. He's like, well, thought I was having good matches.
Mm-hmm.
I know I reference all that because in this Rumble, he gets kind of tossed in ho-hum fashion by The Undertaker.
Yeah.
They missed the boat with Benjamin.
They really did. And what?
I mean, I don't know if he could have been a main event guy, but he's a guy who could have got a more serious push. He sort of had the rug pulled out from under him, I feel, in 04. Four,
yeah.
Now
he was pretty hot after he beat Triple H clean.
Yeah, now I remember he got they did have him beat Batista and Flair as well, and it built up to him getting an IC title shot at the even more red hot Randy Orton. And I didn't think he should have won that match. I remember.
Well, they had to get the belt off of Orton. They had to give it to somebody.
They wound up giving it to Edge, who returned.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But he was on a hell of a run. But this is one of these things, though. I mean,
he got a lot. He was a big victim of the stop start pushes.
Well, and you know what it was, too? I mean, he's a guy, if you look at the history of his career, it's a lot of the same stuff as the modern-day poster child for start-stop pushes, now mostly stop pushes, Dolph Ziggler, because political problems in the back. Sheldon Benjamin, you know, I say if some of these guys spent less time playing video games and more time watching matches, it was that kind of crap.
What was that an impression of?
Good old JR.
JR was a big Benjamin fan, though.
Was he really?
Yeah, I thought he was.
Somebody was not a fan of his. Well, JR used to take shots in his column about the video game players, and Sheldon.
Yes, that's true.
How is it at that time you don't get anywhere being a gamer, And today, Xavier Woods is getting towards the top of the card, but partially by being a gamer.
Because well, they have the big video game. That's why. Okay, you want the answer? Because they have a big, very big video game they like to sell. That's why.
All right. Well, the more things change, the more they
change,
I guess.
It was too bad there was no WWE 2K8
or whatever.
The more
they really change. Yeah. Shelton.
Or was there? I don't play video games at all.
Somebody
might correct me and say there was
a video
game.
I'm still a guy that plays on a Sega Genesis more than anything else, so you're asking the wrong guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Surprised you don't still play Richard Nixon videotapes. couple guys that would have killed for Shelton Benjamin's career trajectory. Brian Kendrick, treated like a real geek here.
The Brian Kendrick.
Yes, the Brian Kendrick, with Ezekiel Jackson as his bodyguard. A real blink and you'll miss an appearance.
Yep.
Dolph Ziggler, you referenced him.
Yes.
He's in this, and he also gets tossed. I think he was brand new. He comes in, he's like, and he looks at Kane. He's like, "Hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler."
He was doing that stupid introduction gimmick in the beginning,
and then like Kane just chucks him out. That's a great way to get over a new character, by the way.
It is.
By a great way, I mean the worst.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I don't know if you got my sarcasm.
Okay, I didn't.
It was a fucking terrible way to get over a new character.
I was rolling with you on that, but yeah, the sarcasm, I guess I agree with more than that. But here's the thing. Anytime you're doing a gimmick, there's supposed to be a parody of stuff in the back. Of new guys introducing themselves every time they walk into
nobody
an arena.
Nobody gets that.
That doesn't draw
cares.
Money. Yeah.
No, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's one of those things where, again, they just paid too much. It's so funny, this company's relationship with quote-unquote smart fans.
Right.
Sometimes they neglect them too much. Sometimes they pay far too much attention.
Right.
It never seems like it's like, you know, it's disregard your hardcore fan base when you want to push Roman Reigns. But, you know, we're going to cater to them with handshake angles that nobody freaking gives a shit about.
I know. I mean, like if they're going to try and, you know.
Handshake angles?
If they're going to try
if
and.
If DDP
do,
had come back and done this, I would have laughed.
No, that would have been funny, you know, or. You know,
or
again,
if you would have hugged Vince McMahon.
Exactly. You know, and if you although, again, I guess as long as they're going to be parodying real life stuff. You know, at least we're not getting a gimmick, you know, thank God for small favors, of Shannon Moore doing a gimmick stealing the wives of quadriplegics. At least we're not getting anything like that.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, that didn't happen, did it?
I don't know. I'm no comment.
Where do we go from here?
No comment. I'll tell you where we go. RVD. Oh, there was one other guy given the geek treatment besides Kendrick and Ziggler.
Who?
Santino Marella, but that's okay because he was comedy anyway.
Yes.
That was okay. So he, I think,
was
they
that
played
his,
up,
the,
they,
the 1 second thing?
Yes.
Was this the year?
That was okay.
Yeah.
The way they played up, they broke the Warlord's record. RVD, I was going to say, not the only legend in this match. We also got 1988 Royal Rumble winner Jim Duggan. Of all the people in 2009 does The Undertaker sell for in this match? God damn Hacksaw Jim Duggan. The Undertaker doesn't sell this whole match except for when he works with Jim Duggan. I was just like, for Christ's sake.
The funny thing is, I don't think he was selling for Jim Duggan back in 91, so
yeah,
that makes it even better. But you got him at 29, Big Show at 30, and that's where
there was a weak crop at the end here. There was no big name.
You shouldn't have that. You shouldn't have.
It was kind of like. And you're right. It kind of killed the Rumble. It's like, all right, well, the big names are in there.
Right.
And this is one where it should have been, you know,
you need
Triple H, Orton, Jericho, Taker should have been, like, throwing a lot of guys out during the course of the match.
You need and a more even disbursement.
Yeah.
And not only that, like you said, to have the names doing impactful things here. And to have, as you said, more flow, more ebb and flow like you expect out of a Rumble match.
Yeah, because Ray drew no – had been in the match for like almost 50 minutes. It drew almost no real heat.
What's interesting is – and I'm gonna go back to actually a figure from pro wrestling to make my point, albeit this was about something else. But doing a Super Bowl preview of Super Bowl 48 on the show with Lex Luger. We're rolling through all this. We're detailing all the ways that Seattle's going to win. And then in the end – yeah, Rick, but in the end, I can't go against Peyton Manning. So he agrees with me on everything, but then he takes Denver. I feel like you're doing that right now because all my substantive criticisms of the match, you're agreeing with, And yet you're not giving it the absolute drizzle and shiznits rating
I think there's legit criticisms on it.
Why doesn't it add up to something that is at the hinge of the bottom quarter?
Because I've seen, because I know what the hinge is, and it's better than that. It's when I rank stars, like, so a two-star Rumble for me or two-star show is like 93. This is much better than 93. Well, I know you disagree.
I gave 93 3
yeah,
stars,
I know, but
believe.
I think you're insane for that. Like, that's with the rating system, it's like I look at the Rumbles, I'm like, okay, this is what this one got. I like this one more than that. Like, this is better than 06.
By the way, that
not by
put,
a lot.
That only
but,
put 93 in a tie for 11th, so it's not as bad as you initially thought, I'm sure.
I have it in my bottom five.
Wow. You are way off on that one, though. Okay.
So, I mean, I know the Rumbles that are ranked around this.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes in line. The thing with me is, we've talked about this. We've joked about it, I think, more off-air than on.
Mm-hmm.
But our distribution of the star ratings, you're just, like, polar opposite. For you, it's either it was no good, or, like, you have, like, a ton that are clustered probably around 2 stars and around 4 stars. Most of mine are clustered around 3.
I have some around 3. But I probably have more, yeah.
Like, the vast majority of mine are between, like, 2.5 and 3.5 stars. If you're out you're out of that realm.
I got more on either side.
Yeah,
of that. You're
see,
right.
If you're out of that realm, 2.5 to 3.5,
yeah,
either something's really wrong or something's really good.
Okay.
Like, there's only above 3.5, there's only, I think, 5 Rumbles I'm giving higher than 3.5.
Right.
And under 2.5, there's more than 5. But it may not be more than, like, 7.
But here's
so that's, like, 2/3 of these things are going to be within 2.5 to 3.5.
Here's
seconds.
The thing with me structurally, though. I mean, I'll grant you, there's no one big thing
there's
here.
There's nothing awful about this.
But there's just...
It's just it's nothing
like,
great.
But for me, it's the death of 1,000 cuts. It's like, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. It just
I
adds
guess,
up.
I guess, to me, it wasn't so much that I don't like this. It was just, I don't really like this.
Well...
I guess I looked at it, like, nothing offended me in this match. We do still need to get to the ending, by the way, because the right guy, and here's another thing, the right guy goes over here.
That's not an end-all, be-all to where it's going to override things for me
for,
in that way.
Well, it doesn't have, I mean, like, for instance, like, Shawn Michaels obviously had to go over 95, and that wasn't enough to save that particular match.
It can't
match,
save a shiznit sandwich in my
but
book.
But I just don't think this was shiznit.
Okay.
To say, I just thought it was, eh, like, when I think of this, like, this is a very middle-of-the-road Rumble to me. Like, there's a lot worse. Like, the ones in the mid-90s, most of them, worse than this. Just because the roster.
Yeah.
But this was better than, like, 91.
Where do I have 91 ranked?
The one that Hogan wins.
I do. Okay, I have 91 at 1 3/4.
Like, the other ones,
so for
the other ones that I, for instance, have at 2 3/4. Like, this is, like, around, like, 97, 89 for me. Even 94, which I like more than you, it's a slightly below par Rumble, is where I would say.
All right,
is it? I believe it is slightly below par.
I
just don't think it's horrible.
I've got these, you know, sort of in clumps because there's ties at a couple of star ratings. So what's interesting is,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, for me, I don't have more than like 3 Rumbles at any star rating.
I have a clump. 16 to 18, where it's tied, you know, tied for 16th, because it's basically those three that are tied for 16th at 2.5 stars. So that's more or less like about where you probably, when you talk about a little bit below that, 16 through 18 out of 29 is probably about in the ballpark you're looking at. I'm saying tied for 22nd.
That's gonna be, I do not have that many Rumbles below 2.5, because there's what? How many Rumbles have there been? Like now? Like
29, as of today.
Yeah, I do not have more than 10 Rumbles below 2.5 stars. No way.
Oh, I don't have. I only have 4 Rumbles below two. Well, or
two and a half.
2.5. Okay. Two and a half. I have. Well, I have 11.
Yeah,
so
that's a lot.
Okay.
I probably have like 7 at the most. And some of them have yet to come. And I'm anticipating those being below.
Probably.
I know there's
two
that will absolutely be below 2.5 stars.
Well, as you said, the right guy went over. It was a thing where the legacy thing played heavily into the finale of Triple H having to do the 1-on-3 thing.
Yeah,
with,
and Undertaker Big Show, that drew no heat, man.
Right.
I thought. They were trying to play for this big showdown. I don't know, again.
We'd seen it too many times.
I don't, again, was that like a WrestleMania program they were thinking? Because Big Show beat Undertaker clean. couple months previous at a pay-per-view.
Yeah, they did a program
It almost seemed like they were maybe trying to stretch it to Mania, and like at that moment they probably knew, okay, no, that's not Mania.
Yeah.
That's not Mania.
Yeah.
Just like Michaels was like, I want to get out of this JBL thing.
Right.
Taker's like, you know, he's bringing the strap down against the Big Show, and he's like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not feeling
it. So, yeah, they both go out, and, yeah, it's Triple H against Legacy. Triple H obviously throws Rhodes and DiBiase out.
Right.
Orton tosses him, wins the match, gets a pretty big babyface reaction.
That's the whole thing here, too. Going against Vince McMahon, it's always a tricky thing.
Oh, my God. Are we going to hit on the same
Brock
thing
Brock Lesnar
here?
4 years later. The whole thing heading into WrestleMania 4 years later when Brock breaks Vince McMahon's hip. I'm sorry, folks. No matter how you've presented Vince McMahon on air, that's a babyface move.
Okay, let's just get into this then because you've
Have I
obviously stolen
point?
My notes
okay.
or looked at them.
Well, great minds think alike.
Yes. All right, so it was obvious Randy Orton was going to win here, and he was the right guy to go over here.
Yes,
there's no doubt
was.
About it in my mind.
Yes.
Why wasn't his value more maximized here? Because you talk about the road to WrestleMania. He was this red-hot heel. He gets in the main event, winds up working opposite Triple H. He doesn't go over. I think he wins the next month. It's kind of like a little bit of the reverse from the previous year where he wins the title at Backlash. I know you're going to say, well, Randy Orton was a main eventer the rest of 2009.
Right.
He wasn't that special by the end of 2009, though.
Well,
and I feel they squandered him a little bit.
The title had been on and off of him too much. He was sometimes winning it by means that were way too cheap. Remember the final the finish at SummerSlam? Brett DiBiase, who never made it out of developmental, is the one who comes in and costs John Cena the title. Everybody's scratching their head going, what? So Randy Orton was just in a lot of convoluted stuff.
Should they have turned him babyface here? Because you talk about because I want to talk about it. I think a big reason that the Triple H-Orton dynamic didn't work as well as they had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe we're wrong. Maybe it did work for a lot of people because this WrestleMania still drew pretty good numbers. I mean, it did not draw as well as the previous 2 years, and then the three that involved The Rock later all did better.
Yeah.
But from WrestleMania's 23 to 29, this was the second lowest number of buys.
Right.
But, I mean, it still did over 900,000 buys, close to a million. I think it did over 950,000, which is a lot. That includes worldwide, obviously. But that dynamic, I think you touched on it, why it wasn't as good as they had hoped.
Well, yeah.
You know, on paper, it sounds great.
Right.
Orton attacks the McMahons, Triple H, hey, I'm a McMahon, and he comes back swearing vengeance. But you touched on a key thing. The McMahons are not sympathetic babyfaces.
No, they're
Just
not.
Just look at what they're doing now in 2016. And, like, think of all the shit they've done. It's like, oh, it's like, now we're supposed to, like, why is this so heinous? But when Steve Austin stunned this asshole, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
It's totally inconsistent. And it's a thing where what it led to was for the second time in Triple H's.
It's not like Vince had been cheered going into that show. He'd been off TV for a long time, presumably dead.
Right. And it was a thing where Triple H, now for the second time in his career.
And also, by the way, a Triple H.
Yeah.
Let's just say it. It's a lousy babyface.
Well, he wrestles also as a babyface for a second time. A flat final match at WrestleMania, like 02, where him and Jericho couldn't follow Hogan and The Rock.
That
same
build,
thing here.
The build with Jericho was much worse than the build with Orton.
Now, that's true. That's true. But you get to Mania, and it's a thing of where the McMahons, who are omnipresent, who are godlike in their company, somehow find themselves saddled with a stipulation where Triple H loses the title if he gets disqualified. Holy plot holes, Batman. And not only that, that's a match that cried out for the previous year. Triple H and his matches with Kozloff on top
Horrible.
Of SmackDown. Other matches, well, the matches on it, but he got to use the plunder. Cena really didn't main eventing Raw in his matches by and large. This is a match that cried out for plunder. You can't book something as a blood feud and then like, oh, hey, let's trade wrist locks in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. Given the angle to have that. Title could change
on
the DQ
Orton
step?
Pointed out the same thing. Randy's like, we were dead in the water with that step, you know?
That was bad.
It was horrible.
I always forget about that. That was bad.
How does Triple H end up with the stiff? And like, he gets patted on the back by Vince McMahon before he goes out there. You know, go get him, son. You know, it's like, yeah, oh, okay. Jesus. Hey, you think you could maybe give me a street fight match here? You know, how is that not?
Yeah, you think you'd be like, you know what, Randy Orton, you want in the main event? It's going to be a street fight. Anything goes.
Yeah.
Overbook a Mania. You're right. If there was ever a time for Overbook a Mania to be running
this
wild,
this was it. This was it. Yeah. This was absolutely it. So that worked against him. Here's a funny thing here, too. We talked about this in terms of the brand split era Royal Rumbles of like, oh, the last two guys in there, oh, well, you know, they're both going to be in the main event. You know, usually it was on separate sides.
This
you lose that one. In this one, you talk about all the last-minute crap for WrestleMania 25. Triple H the next month in the Elimination Chamber wins back. I don't even remember if it was the world title or the WWE title because they were flip-flopping them so much. But anyways,
it was the SmackDown title. Because remember, Triple
WWE
H was
won.
Triple H was a SmackDown guy still.
And then Edge lost that one, got in the other one, won the world title, and was part of the forgettable three-way with Cena and Big Show at WrestleMania.
Like we said, folks, the Big Show had softened. Yes, the Big Show had softened.
Well, yeah.
But the brand split, another BS word,
yeah.
How appropriate,
yeah.
Had softened, folks. Because you need a scorecard to keep track of these title changes.
Now it was like during WrestleMania season, they went to this thing of anything goes.
You know what? They were relying so, and they got burned a little bit by this.
Mm-hmm.
No Way Out 08
mm-hmm.
did a great number. Rumble 08 did a great number. Because No Way Out 08 is when they introduced the Elimination Chamber.
Right.
As a way, as kind of like a big fork in the road to WrestleMania.
But that should be the one they use for the non-Royal Rumble title shot. That's all it should be.
Well, they started doing two, and it was the idea was, okay, you're going to find out who the challenger is at Rumble, and you're going to find out who the champions are. But you're right. At least one of the title programs, the big one, needs to be set after the Rumble, and it wasn't. And the whole problem with WrestleMania 25 and why a lot of people, I think, if you ask people that were in the company,
mm-hmm.
were maybe not as bullish as the public projections that were being put out, were they just waited too long to get a lot of these programs going.
They did. I mean,
and when they did get them going, the TV wasn't exactly inspiring, particularly with that three-way you mentioned, Cena, Big Show, and Edge. That was just,
and they inserted Vicky in it as part of a love triangle between Edge and Big Show, which was, the whole match was just a setup for Cena to give the AA spot to both of them at the same time, which was an impressive visual, but you don't book an entire WrestleMania program around
really,
that.
Really, other than the Jeff Matt thing, which was set up here, there was no obvious WrestleMania matchup until after No Way Out.
And that's the thing. I mean,
which is a mistake. Now, I guess they were, we're kind of used to them doing that now.
Right.
But at least in 2016, what they did was they did, like, set up three matches basically immediately on Raw.
Right.
Like, they didn't do that here. And then there was the whole situation with Mickey Rourke, with the wrestler.
Right.
Is he going to be there? What's his role? They didn't know.
And I've said this before. That what happened was, I remember reading about this at the time.
WrestleMania 3, this was not.
The Oscars people were whispering in his ear, you better not do the match because you're not going to have a chance anyways for the Oscar.
And so he was non-committal to it until he didn't win the Oscar.
My thing was, with Batista being hurt, because the biggest thing to do for WrestleMania 25 was
unify the titles.
Cena, Batista, unify the titles. You put one, you know, you make sure each one of them's champion. Having said, if you're not going to do that,
what do you do with Orton then?
He could still do a blood feud thing with Triple H. It just would not be for a title.
What about, I guess it was never going to happen, and this is just fantasy land shit.
Mm-hmm.
Meltzer was really entertaining the notion of Steve Austin being brought back in that role for vengeance for Vince McMahon. If you read the Observer's that time period, he had this huge hard on, and like Meltzer's usually not that wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he was just off with his speculation, because you look back at it now, you're like, that was, I don't think, ever being considered.
No,
but he was really pointing to this idea that, you know, Orton, okay, you can be in the main event of WrestleMania, but it's not going to be a title match. And, oh, by the way, here's your opponent. You know, glass shatters, it's Steve Austin.
Even the best of us can get caught up by wishful thinking, and I'm afraid that's what happened to Dave Meltzer in that situation. My thing is, short of the dream possibility of Cena Batista title unification, what I go with is,
and that was obviously couldn't happen because Batista got hurt, except, and they had also blown the match at SummerSlam the previous year.
Right.
Unless, so, if I guess Cena's going to, you know, they could do the thing where Batista, oh, I've beaten you before, and I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cena gets his win back.
Title
which
for
he
title at WrestleMania 25 with Cena going over writes itself. But you had a situation where they blew it. You talk about all the hot-shotting in this period, second-guessing and changing on the fly, of where Cena makes one of his miracle recoveries, comes back, wins the championship.
This is late 08.
Late 08, wins it from
Jericho.
Jericho at the Survivor Series.
Who was red
hot
at the time. Probably should not have lost the title.
That should have been the Mania program, folks, because Cena, remember, said it before, hadn't had the title since getting stripped for injury in October of 07. You would have had John Cena, the defining babyface of the time period, having not had the title for like 16 months coming into WrestleMania. It writes itself. You have, you know, Jericho taunting him. You're not the man anymore. I am. I'm the one that was the first unified champion.
What do you do with Edge then?
What do you do? Well, look, Edge was in a forgettable main event
he
program.
He was. I guess
anyway,
he was. So, I mean, you're just saying, well,
just put him in another forgettable program because that the program he was in sucked. By the way, what you could do at this time period, too, is, you know, if Edge had had anybody in his corner, whether it be Vicky Guerrero or whatever, you tie in Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke's going to be in John Cena's corner. There's your WrestleMania 25 main event.
So I take it you did not really like the Jericho-Mickey Rourke program for the
I
show.
I didn't like it. I didn't like the thing of him with the Legends. Him and Steamboat had a good match within a match, although what was disconcerting watching this is Ricky Steamboat in his prime, no homo, one of the most handsome men ever to wrestle. He looked like Vern Gagne with the hairline, didn't he? I mean, it was like, you know, it's like, am I watching Vern Gagne out there? And Ricky Steamboat being bald was just jarring. I felt like
homo.
My child.
What is this? Who was that? Was this Pretty Boy Swag? Was this Soulja Boy or something
I
like
saying,
I'm doing this show with?
I was saying no homo. You know, I was.
Good Lord. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Good Lord.
What is it? We're not allowed to say that anymore in Obama's America? Come on. But anyways.
You're allowed to say that in Richard Nixon's America.
But anyways, you know, I didn't really like that program very much. I wasn't very enamored of it. The whole thing, too, people are going to try and point to, well, at least it had one of the greatest matches of all time, Michaels Taker, to which I say, look, that doesn't redeem the card because, you know,
was a match they probably put the least amount of thought into.
And it was a layup.
And it was the match where, again, I always tell us that people are so big with these surprises these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that it was, like, so competitive and, like, people kind of bought some of the finishes and that is what
really
helped it. Because that's the one that really got the streak going as one of the, like, the big drawing cards of WrestleMania for the next couple of years. But everyone kind of generally knew going to that match that Taker was going to go over.
Sure. Well, even the whole angle of it, too, where it was a little bit weird, was the unbeatable man at WrestleMania versus Mr. WrestleMania. Well, Shawn Michaels was Mr. WrestleMania because, in the whole postmodern sense, he's the greatest performer. That doesn't equate the one-loss record. He puts on the best matches at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And that's what basically it was done for. They probably looked at this card. They're like,
right.
We need a great match.
In the kayfabe sense, Shawn Michaels is not Mr. WrestleMania.
All right, do you know what WrestleMania you can kind of compare WrestleMania 25 to in terms of the one-match show element? But it's better than this WrestleMania,
12?
Obviously. No.
Which also had Shawn Michaels in the biggest match.
13.
13, yeah.
Bret Hart. Because if you look about it, what are the two matches that most people will debate on are the two best in Mania history?
Yeah.
Hart, Austin, Michaels, Taker. Now, I'm a little, I don't mean to disparage Michaels, Taker. I actually have four matches better than it, WrestleMania history.
Two from your beloved WrestleMania 10, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Savage Steamboat.
Okay.
In the sense that, and we'll, maybe if we get into a WrestleMania discussion, we could talk about this. I just think that Michaels Taker, what they did, while very impressive in all time, is actually not as impressive as any of those other four matches.
Well,
because, and but here's the thing when people say, oh, well, it's got, you know, WrestleMania 13 is not regarded as a very good WrestleMania, right?
Right.
And it's, in fact, the
horrible.
In terms of business, it's the worst.
Right.
But
Worse than 11?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
WrestleMania 13, it wasn't even the top five bought pay-per-view in 97.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, WrestleMania 13 is the nadir of WrestleMania.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because, again, the booking
Right.
Was all over the place. Remember that
Sean lost his, yeah.
Sean lost his smile and everything was thrown to hell.
Right.
So here's my thing. Now, WrestleMania 25 did, in the grand scheme of things, very strong business. So it cannot be necessarily lumped in
better
WrestleMania,
than it deserved.
13.
Yep.
But, you know, WrestleMania 13 can't be the worst WrestleMania ever because it's got that match. But
right.
It's still considered a bad WrestleMania.
Right. That's a good comparison.
Though. WrestleMania 25, I think it's got that match, and it did good business. So it's got to be in kind of the average category.
Right.
But it certainly can't be considered great, even though the business was good and it has the all-time match, because the storytelling was pretty lousy.
Well, and again, this is where, again, we shouldn't let them off the hook just because of HBK Taker, because, again, they knew what they had going in. If you go all the way back to the first Hell in a Cell, fall of 97.
Which, by the way,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, you're in these forums more than I am.
Yeah.
Am I a minority person in that I prefer the Hell in a Cell match to the WrestleMania 25 match?
You would be a minority probably in that, yeah.
Wow, that's very disappointing.
If for no other reason than the ending. I think the ending being a clean one at WrestleMania.
I think, you know what? I'm the only person that absolutely thinks that was the best ending possible at Bad Blood.
Yeah, but
that was to debut a character like that.
I think it puts a ceiling on the match.
I don't think it'd be five stars with a crap finish. I think that was the Michaels had to go over in that match. What's he going to beat him clean? That'd been terrible.
Right.
No, that wasn't his character. I think that was the best pop. You could not come up with a better ending than what they did at Bad Blood.
Between that, and they didn't cross paths very much when Shawn came back in 02, there was because
Shawn was always Raw, Taker was always SmackDown.
Yeah, there was the great finish at the Rumble in 07 where they had the prolonged. It was like the match within the match, essentially. So they knew what they had. I'm not going to give them a lot of credit for OMG because, like you said, it wasn't a program they built as heavily as some of the really bad programs on the show that they put more effort into. But it's a thing where I was telling you this off here. My theory is, I mean, when you're looking at top guy versus top guy chemistry, they're on the top tier of all time.
Yes.
They're up there. HBK Taker, as far as chemistry, they're on that tier with Hogan Piper, Hogan Savage, Flair Savage. I'm talking WWE, WWF history. Austin Rock. I mean, these are the chemistry things here in terms of all-time top
guys. They worked
guys.
On a pay-per-view four times, I believe.
Yeah.
Ground Zero, which is like the forgotten one.
Had the best pay-per-view matches of any of the group I've mentioned, short of possibly Austin Rock.
There isn't a single one of the four that I'm thinking of on pay-per-view that was under 4 stars.
Yeah.
The Ground Zero match
is amazing.
The Ground Zero match is easily the weakest.
Yeah.
And it's the one that no one probably remembers. It set up the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Go watch that match, folks. That was an awesome brawl. And it was a very different kind of brawl than they do today.
It was. And go ahead.
You know, but the Hell in a Cell is all-timer.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 25 is all-timer. And before we put a bow on this, but a little bit of foreshadowing as we go ahead to the next episode of 2010, you know, Michaels Taker, as we know, is a much more featured and prominent program going into the next year's WrestleMania.
That's right.
The match may be turned out slightly not as good, but the build was outstanding.
It was.
For the rematch.
One last thing I want to say about Mania here, and again, talk about build or no build in this case. We talked about this before. You know, we didn't have title versus title, Cena, Batista, whatever. Where we did have title versus titles, they unified the tag matches, bumped it to
titles.
The tag titles were unified, bumped it to the pre-show because they were doing the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal. They needed to take that time for, and God knows I love me some Kid Rock. But you're taking the time, you're bumping the tag title unification. I love Kid Rock. You're bumping the unification match to the pre-show so that you have time for Kid Rock to play all of the Miss WrestleMania contestants to the ring. He's playing his music, he's jamming, and they're parading to the ring. Instead of just doing a thing, you cut to all of, you know, the broads are in the ring and whatever, and you have time to fit that match in.
The pomp and circumstance of WrestleMania. I don't know. It was. I remember at the time that was a
stupid
bone of contention from some. But in the grand scheme of things,
you've called me Nelson Nitpicker for that.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that.
You're
I know that I
unifying the tag titles.
I know that sounds like it's a big deal, but it really wasn't.
Just first of
it
all,
it wasn't,
again,
was it? I mean, I know that they didn't do a good job of it, but like
self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a chance to start over. You have unified by God tag titles. Remember when they unified the world and the WWE title, and Paul Heyman's like, now Brock Lesnar feels like it's worth his time to go after the unified or whatever they're calling it. It's all in how you treat it, Kyle Ross.
I agree. There's some. It's all in how you treat it. I don't think it would have. I don't think that necessarily would have made that WrestleMania any better. The problems are always at the top. It's like when, you know, my good buddy Chad Repex was like, oh, they should have done Greg Valentine, Tito Santana at WrestleMania 1. Yeah, they didn't have to do
that. It's well down my list, but it's on my list of things that were wrong. So, again, that's the thing. I mean, for 2009, I guess we disagree on the magnitude of it, but neither of us liked this show.
I think this is a very average show.
I say below average.
But here's the thing. Most of these Rumble shows in the aughts, in the 21st century,
yeah,
which Jack Swagger is the embodiment of, according to Matt Stryker,
yeah,
I've liked most of them. Me calling this show average, believe it or not, puts it kind of low on the spectrum.
There
aren't many Rumble shows in the 2000s so far that we've talked about that I didn't like. From the first decade, from 2000 to 2009,
yeah,
the only one that I absolutely can tell you was worse than this one is 06.
Yeah,
easily worse than this one. But I generally like most of the Rumble shows. So the fact that I'm calling this kind of average, it's not ringing endorsement.
And I have 06 at 1.5, but I'll tell you this may surprise you. I have it at 2 stars, tied for 22nd. The only show after this that I have even as low, also at 2 stars, is 16. Every other show from 2009
on. You
have
2015 higher than this? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, spoiler alert, 2.5 stars.
Dude.
By the way, and I have... I don't
understand your ratings.
We're gonna do a three-way dance for 2015 as our good friend, fellow dignitary Jake Digman, who was there, he's going to give us a bird's-eye view of what it was like to be there. We're going to talk about that with him. Jennings has offered to come on with us.
Oh, he has. Yes. I didn't remember signing off on Jake Digman coming on this program.
Jennings is joining us for 2015 when we get to that point. Yeah, there's something to look forward to.
I'll give him the stunner.
Kick Wham stunner, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
All right. We can rehash our Rumble ratings for him, too, because by the time we get to... By the time we get there, I'm going to have everything put into place. I'm kind of tinkering. Like, when I say, like, this one's 2.75, 3
yeah,
stars,
mm-hmm,
once they're all done, because I'll be honest with you, 11 through 13,
okay,
I definitely need to rewatch those again. I have an idea where they're going to be placed, but I could be wrong.
All right.
I'm going to go in with an open mind. By the time we get, because I know where I'm going to place 14 and 15,
mm-hmm,
whoa, I'll have my entire spectrum reviewed.
I would imagine official. 16 as well. You couldn't be that enamored of 16.
That one was in the average category.
Yeah, okay.
That one was kind of close to this one.
I have it in a tie with this one.
Okay, well, I just have that a higher tie. You also think 1993 is great.
Not great. It's not in my top 10. It's tied for 11th.
Frickin' thank God.
Yeah, it's tied for 11th. My tie for 11th is 2011, 2007, 2004, 1993, 2014. Wow, I have 14 that high. Go figure.
I don't get. All you do is yell at me about Daniel Bryan this, Daniel Bryan that, and you put over those two. Jesus H freaking Christ, man. Make up your mind. I don't know what you look at in these Rumbles.
I'll have to look at my notes, but I guess I liked everything else in 2014 aside from the Daniel Bryan treatment, which is kind of liking everything.
Which is like saying, you know, Jews had a nice decade in the 30s, except for, you know, the Nazis.
I was going to say, which is kind of like liking everything about anal warts except how they appear on you.
Yes, yeah.
So, all right. We'll get to all of that as we move along here. But it's been great breaking down 2009 today, and we'll get to 2010 when we resume the series.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.